It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll take a look at the approaching debt ceiling standoff. But first, it used to be a handful of big-name board games cornered the market. War horses like Monopoly, Trivial Pursuit, and Scrabble.
Our Geek Out contributor, Patrick Rothfuss, says we're in the midst of a board game renaissance, and he's here to tell us more and share some of his favorites. Patrick is a best-selling fantasy author of The Name of the Wind, and he's from Wisconsin. Pat, welcome to Central Time.
Hey there, guys.
So why do you say we're in the midst of a board game renaissance?
Well, you're absolutely right. There used to be kind of these big monolithic games that that everybody knew about. You'd play Monopoly or Trivial Pursuit or Scrabble, and they've been around kind of forever, and everyone knew about it, and everybody had a copy in their cupboard. And then if you went a little further afield, you'd get like Sorry or Trouble or Yahtzee. And then it kind of petered out, unless you were doing like a really weird, specialized niche game, like you were doing submarine combat, and these games would, you know, take 2 hours to set up and 4 hours to play, and they were really intense and really only appealed to a very certain specific kind of person. But in these last 10 years, it's really taken off, and the field has opened up. Because now people can kind of create games much more easily and market them on the internet, and that allows a lot of, you know, the board game equivalent of like startup businesses. People can create their own studios, fund their own games on Kickstarter, and then suddenly you have this explosion of new ideas on the scene.
So we've got these tween games. They're not the old standbys. They're not the super specialized niche ones. What do these games bring to the table that the other ones didn't?
You know, a lot of it, one of the big things is that these games are better games. The reason that a lot of people play Monopoly is because you know Monopoly and you own a copy and, you know, everyone kind of knows the rules. But, I mean, have you ever, like, really enjoyed
no.
a game?
It's a bad game.
Monopoly?
Sorry.
I have.
Yeah.
Does that make me a bad person?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. What it is usually what you're really enjoying is spending time with your family, you know, or with your friends. And sometimes the game itself, it's okay, but there's very little skill involved in a game of Monopoly. You know, you roll the dice, do you buy the property or not? And then that continues for, like, 45 minutes. And the only choice you're making is, do I buy a property or not? And that's not a really dynamic interaction. You're not really solving any problems there. But these days, there are some games you can learn how to play in half an hour, and you can play it with a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and it's fun, and they're interactive, and you can beat people, and you can win your first time out of the gate playing this game, and it can be fun for the whole family. And then you can play it again that same night, and nobody has to flip the table over because you just spent 2 hours trying to get that last property, and nobody can build any hotels, you know?
Well, do you think that the richness you're talking about is because there are more elements now of fantasy and role-playing and creating these worlds? I'm thinking about new games. Well, I guess they're not even that new anymore, but something like Settlers of Catan, for instance, where you're sort of starting a civilization with sheep and stuff.
That's exactly it. And Settlers of Catan really, like, it blew the lid off the whole thing, where suddenly here's a game that I remember, you know, and this was probably 10, 15 years ago, I remember finding out that our neighbors up the hill played it, and their daughter, who was 10 years old, was a diva and, like, regularly beat her parents at this game. And, like, and you have to be smart, and you have to plan ahead and manage your resources to be good at Catan. And she was. She was good at that. I mean, I think, you know, and besides, you know, what do you really have to manage in Monopoly? It's they're not comparable games at all. Plus, a game of Catan you can play in, like, an hour and then do it again.
Let's name some more names, Patrick. What are some of your other favorites apart from Settlers?
Well, to be aware when you kind of set foot into this world, there's different kinds of games. There's like a 45-minute game, which is nice. Or then there's like an hour and a half game, which is also nice, but it's a different sort of experience. For like a lighter, more fun, easy to learn, casual game, Settlers is wonderful. I'm very fond lately of a game called King of Tokyo. It's very new, and everyone here and all of my friends and everyone I work with, we play this game like crazy, and you can play it in like 20 minutes.
What is it? What do you do?
You all play like giant monsters destroying Tokyo, like a Godzilla movie. You know, and you roll some dice, and you punch each other, and then somebody wins, and you laugh, and then you play it again.
The shortness factor I can see would be appealing when everyone's crunched for time if you can get through it quickly.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, you know, if you play a game of Monopoly, you know, somebody wins and feels very smug and everybody else is a little disgruntled. But if you play a shorter game, you can play two or three times and everyone gets a new chance to win.
So as a geek who played those specialty games you're talking about, it was always difficult to introduce them to the normals. And it was clear to them that they were crossing a threshold of geekery. These new games you're talking about, these Euro games, I think they call them, is it a friendly way for us geeks and the normals to meet halfway?
Oh, absolutely. I honestly think of them as a gateway drug. Because, truthfully, we all enjoy playing games. And when you talk about these specialty games, like what did you used to play?
Do you have an hour? No, games like Magic Realm, Republic of Rome, these things could take hours to set up sometimes and then hours to play. And yeah, it was a different sort of scene that a lot of people weren't into, with good reason.
And the classic example is Civilization, a game which quite literally would take 10 hours to play. a game that very few people ever finished playing. And like, who wants that to be their first game experience after Monopoly? That's not going to win anyone over. But, you know, some of these gateway drugs, King of Tokyo is fun, and you can learn it literally in 5 minutes and then go out and play some more. And it's just like popcorn.
Do you think that we still need to honor these old games? I mean, obviously not a fan of Monopoly on your part, but what about, you know, Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit? Or is it just, you know, kind of like video games where you go back, like I did recently and played Galaga, and I kind of lost interest after my, you know, fourth or fifth game, because the new games are just so much better.
The new games really are so much better. It's sort of like, you know, sometimes it's like you go back and you watch a classic movie. I just watched The Wizard of Oz, and I thought, this is a classic movie for a reason. Everyone watches this for a reason. But sometimes you go back and watch a movie that you loved as a child, and you realize that the only reason you loved it is maybe because you didn't have a lot of critical faculties. You know, Candyland does not hold up over time. It's great for teaching kids how to play a game, but eventually, I mean, there's games that will teach kids how to play games that don't make you as a parent or an aunt or an uncle really want to gnaw your arm. you know, and that's unfortunate. Like my little boy loves to play Candyland, but you know, you really get the urge to stack the deck after a while.
There's no just so it ends. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Pat, thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
One thing that I do want to throw out really quickly. There's a show called Tabletop. It's available on YouTube. Will Wheaton, Geek's celebrity, runs it, and he shows people new games and how to play them. It's a smorgasbord. He brings in witty, fantastic people, and you get to watch them play these games. So that can be like your sampler platter. You can go and see what might suit you and what might look fun to play.
All right. That was Patrick Rothfuss. He's a best-selling fantasy author of The Name of the Wind.
You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.